You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
And welcome to Thrive. And for those of you here in person or those of you joining us online, welcome to worship this morning. I just recently read that millions of people go on pilgrimages every year to a place, a sacred place maybe, or a memorable place, seeking a blessing. Historically, Celtic Christians did something different. That's what we're going to talk about today. Celtic Christians would get in a boat and just wherever the currents took them, or they would just start out in a direction, because the blessing they sought was not at a destination, but it was the awareness that there was a God of grace who was with them on the journey, and that he provided strength along the way. We're going to take a look at some of those heroes of faith and those kind of things, but I pray that you have that same awareness that there is a living God who in his Son Jesus Christ, by the indwelling Spirit, has enabled us to have this adventure that we call life. A life walking with our God who blesses us along the way, that grows our faith. You know this, Hebrews 11 is that great chapter in the Bible that is all the heroes of faith. And so let me just read this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the expectation of things unseen. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of that same promise. For he was looking toward that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them, greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and aliens, exiles on this earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. They had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out. They would have had opportunity, obviously, to return there. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them. He's prepared for them that city. Well, my dear friends, in Jesus, who was, who is, who always will be the only Savior of the world, I'd like to share some words with you this morning in meditation on that passage from Hebrews 11. AAA estimates 88 million people will be traveling this coming week. 88 million of them, with 60 million driving. If you have ever gone on a journey and you've traveled by car or van or SUV or RV and you have children with you, there is one question that will inevitably you will have to face. Children will ask it. They will ask it as soon as you pull out. They will ask it often. They will ask it with a kind of whining, obstinate passion. Some children, like my own, will even be creative. Set this question to music, to the tune of Frère Jacques. And they will keep singing it for hours like some kind of a pagan chant. They will continue to ask it, even though you as a parent have warned them that you never want to hear it again. They will ask it as though they have a legal obligation to ask it. This question will irritate you, and quite honestly, it is actually designed to do so by them. The question, of course, is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Now, friends, imagine for a moment going on a trip and having to say to your fellow travelers, no, we are not there yet. We're not going to get there today. We're not going to get there tomorrow. In fact, we will not ever get there. Our whole life is going to be a journey. And brothers and sisters, that statement is true for all of us. And you see, we're all headed for that one destination. Hebrews 11 tells us, in all of the world that is truly worth traveling to, that's the good news. That God in His grace has prepared that place for us in His Son, our Savior Jesus. But the bad news is, the truth is, that we won't make it in our lifetime. It's going to require patience to stick it out on this journey. It's going to require heroic perseverance. So the question that we really want to unpack and look at this morning is this: how do we keep going on a journey where, in this life at least, we never fully arrive? You see, the challenge for us to accept is the fact that we live in a not-there-yet kind of world. We will never get there. Not fully. Not in this lifetime. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to face the fact that we live in a not-there-yet world, and yet because of God's faithfulness to us, His grace and love and forgiveness to us that we have received by grace through faith in Jesus, we now have the Holy Spirit, and He creates this desire in us to continue to grow daily in our responsiveness to that God, to continue to grow to the point where we hold nothing back in our desire to obey, to live for Him. No reservations, no qualifications, no loopholes. And friends, as we look at a life lived like that, I want to remind you again of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, that conviction of things not seen." You see, it is faith. This gift from God, faith, is what keeps people going when they're on this journey. And the answer that keeps coming back is, you're not there yet. Now, Hebrews 11 then gives us this incredible list, as I mentioned, examples of people who actually were enabled by the Holy Spirit to live like that. They are what we call heroes of faith. And in verse 2 of Hebrews 11, it says this: "Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. It was because they lived by faith that they were able and enabled to lead lives that delighted God." End of quote. And then the writer of the book of Hebrews points out to Abraham as one of those first examples, of beginning back in verse 8 of Hebrews 11. And although there are certainly several others mentioned, Abraham, I think, gets more space here in Hebrews 11 than anybody else. And here's what it says. You heard it. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. Set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised, as if in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, his heirs, who were heirs of him in that same promise of God. For he looked forward." He looked forward. Which is, I think, part of being a faithful person. He didn't look back at what he had left. Instead, he looked forward to that city whose architect and builder is God. So Abraham was on a pilgrimage, if you will. He was not going to be stopped. The blessing was on the journey. He wasn't going to be distracted. Even though his whole life was just one long, "You're not there yet." See, Abraham never fully arrived. Now, friends, don't get me wrong. Abraham was not some infallible person. And if you read, Moses, who records the book of Genesis for us, is very open about the things that marked Abraham and his life of faith. But he did keep trusting God. And he didn't turn back. Kept moving forward. He would, like all of us, often make mistakes. But God's grace was with him each day, and he moved forward towards that city whose architect and builder is God. And that's why Abraham's life is permanently a story about faith. And again, we want to unpack it and look at that a little closer. This is from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, if you want to write that and look at it later. This says this, 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you yourself will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth, that's us. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you, because through him would come the Savior. And then we're told these words. So Abraham went, just as the Lord told him. End of quote. Now, up to this point in the book of Genesis, if you're looking at Genesis 1 through about 11 or 12, we've seen the creation of the world, we've seen the fall into sin, the promise of a Savior, the Messiah, the downward spiral of sin that leads to a flood, and God's desire to move salvation history through the history of his chosen people. And that journey, that salvation history journey, begins with Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, a man who would journey, a man who would live by faith. Now, there are several things, but two things that we'll unpack this morning as we look at Abraham's faith for this journey. And the first is this. People of faith hold things loosely. The first thing that you notice in Abraham's life of faith is that he holds things amazingly loosely. If you recall, the Lord says to Abraham, leave everything. Leave everything that is familiar to you and go to a new place. Now, I know it's a little hard for us to appreciate this because we live in such a mobile society. So just out of curiosity for those of you here, if you raise your hand online, I don't know if you're raising your hand, but just you can do that in a Lutheran church. It's okay. You're not volunteering for anything, right? But just a quick show of hands here. How many of you are living at least 100 miles or more from the place where you were born? Yeah, it's about 99%. All right, good. That's all. We live in such a mobile society, right? Well, what you need to understand is that was unheard of in Abraham's day. Matter of fact, there is an ancient text from around that same time as Abraham lived that tells of a man who disinherited his two sons because they had moved away to a nearby village. I mean, he cut them out. Took him out of the will, because at that time, that just was not done. In the day that Abraham lived, people were born, they would live their whole lives in the same place, and they would know the same people their whole lives, and the dating pool was very small. But God says, not for you, Abraham. You're going to leave all of this and go to a land that I'm going to show you. Now, God doesn't give a whole lot of details, at least recorded in the scriptures at this point. So there's not a lot of information for Abraham to give to his dear wife, Sarah. Now, I'm going to speak as a husband of a wife, but wives tend to want to know about those kinds of things, I think. Can you imagine what that conversation was like? Abraham comes to Sarah, his wife, and says, hey, honey, pack up everything, and we're moving. We're leaving our home, our parents, our families, our friends and relatives, everything that is familiar to us. Honey, let's get packed up and go. And there were none of those pack and go things. You know, no, you're packing yourself and going, right? And Sarah says to her husband, well, honey, where are we going? And Abraham says, I don't know exactly, but I'll know when I see it. Friends, this is the only time in recorded history where when a wife asked her husband, do you know where you are going? And her husband said, only God knows. And he was literally speaking the truth. Right? So here's the flip side of holding things loosely. Because as Abraham held things loosely, he also held tightly unto God. Abraham held tightly unto God. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you this. Look into your heart. What is it that you're holding on to so tightly that it's keeping you from being fully on this journey of faith? What is it, or who is it in your life that you're holding on so tightly to that it prevents you from being responsive to God and His leading? What is it in our life? It could be stuff. It could be our reputation. It could be a sense of security. It could be a relationship or a concern about what other people might think about us. But what is it? What is it that we hold on to so tightly that it keeps us from holding on fully to our God of grace who holds on to us? But it keeps us from trusting Him for this pilgrimage, for this journey. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to take some kind of like vow of poverty. I mean, if you look at Genesis chapter 13, you might want to write that down, take a look at it later. Abraham was a very wealthy person. He was not a poor person. He just held on to what he had loosely. So you see, even though he was blessed with many things, he refused to get attached to them. He refused, by the Holy Spirit's power, to attach himself to anything that would interfere, anything that stood in the way of this journey, this pilgrimage with God. Now again, Abraham did not do that perfectly, and we're going to talk about that before communion today, but we all have those struggles. But in Hebrews 11, it says that Abraham and others recognized that they were strangers and aliens on this earth. So I want us all to take home with this little help, if you don't remember anything else from this message. Let's join in saying four words together, and those four words are this: I am an alien. Okay, let's repeat it after me. You can do that. I am an alien. One more time. I am an alien. And that way, if we say that and believe that we are aliens and we realize that, hopefully the Holy Spirit can use that to help us hold on to things loosely. So the next time you see a commercial on the television or you're on your social media and a person on TikTok suggests that in order for you to really be happy or successful or secure or whatever, if you just do this or buy that, you can say, no, I am an alien. Next time a police officer stops you and asks to see your license, I'm not suggesting you give that a shot, but we are aliens because this world is not our ultimate home. You see, a God of grace from the very beginning created us to be eternal. We were created to spend all of eternity with God. And He provided a way for that to happen. And now between our birth and the time He calls us home, we're on this journey, this pilgrimage of faith. So brothers and sisters, travel lightly. Hold stuff loosely. Hold tightly onto God by faith in our Savior Jesus, because He is holding tightly onto you. Which brings us to the second thing, and that is people of faith come to see just the sheer goodness and grace of God. If our faith is going to be strong, it has got to be centered on God and His grace to us in His Son, our Savior Jesus, that we have come to know because of the Holy Spirit. The psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." In Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, God gives the command to Abraham to go to this strange place, and Abraham holds his things loosely. And then God says to him, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth, including us, will be blessed because of Jesus. And the one word that keeps recurring in those two verses, it's actually used five times if you are counting, five times because it expresses the desire of our God that motivates all of his actions towards us. It's the word bless. You see, that's a God of grace's promise. Abraham will lead to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then to the people of God, Israel. And then through these would come the ultimate promised blessing, which is our Savior, the Messiah, Jesus. And from his grace and from his mercy, he creates by the Holy Spirit this new community. It's a church. The people, the family of God. People who have been blessed beyond all measure. You see, the charter, I think, for you and for me, this is where it all started. And God's great longing is to bless the world, to bless all people, to bless people in Estero, to bless people at FGCU, to bless people throughout the community, throughout the earth. And so he begins by blessing us so that we might be a blessing to others. That's God's heart. And we reflect his heart when we become conduits of his blessings to those around us. You see, our God has an insatiable longing to bless us and then through you to bless others. Because God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, and then he created the church. He redeemed us so that we could carry that blessing of Jesus to others. And all God's people say, amen. If you would join me in your hearts and thoughts as we share in a word of prayer. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. You overwhelm us by your faithfulness. You continue to pour out more than we need to support our bodies and our lives. What can we do except because of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit be enabled to thank and to praise and to serve and to obey you? Lord, you have blessed us so much. We take a moment like Abraham to realize that there are times that we don't hold things loosely, that we don't always hold on to you tightly. We get overwhelmed and we get distracted by so many things. Lord, we would be deluded if we would stand before you and say that we have no sin. But you save us not because of righteous things we've done, but you save us because of Jesus. You looked on him and laid our iniquity on him so that you might pour out your righteousness on us, and we are forever grateful. Lord, we come in humble confession and ask that by that same Spirit's power that brought us to faith, you would continue to mold and shape us for this pilgrimage, and that you would bless us along the way, that you would empower us along the way so that we might be your people and live as your people. Be salt and light in this world, for the world so desperately needs it. We ask all of that in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen.